This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, here we go on a Saturday morning. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Nice to have you aboard as we give you the latest as far as the world of golf is concerned. Give us the news, Golf Doc. What's going on?
You know, it's good to be back with us. I mean, you know, we've been on and off, but getting ready for Christmas.
Oh, we've been on, but we're in studio together here, which is great. Great to see your face. Great to hear your voice.
Thank you very much. And nice shirt you got on this morning. Getting ready for Augusta already, and it's in November. But, you know, golf is still popular. Golf is, we're getting ready for the college playoffs and so on and so forth. But golf is holding its own. Is that because of LIV? Is it because of Rory McIlroy? There's still a couple tournaments going on. So it's fun. We got some other news we're going to talk about the tour for 2023. So everybody hold on and pay attention.
Golf might be peaking. You know, checks and balances tend to do this kind of thing, Charlie, don't they?
Yeah, they sure do. And we've had an interesting year. If we look back, and we'll have a couple shows in the end of the year that will look back on 2022 and try to understand what happened and who was the player of the year, what was the tournament of the year, what was the shot of the year. So we'll have some fun.
And we're going to have your friend Billy Harmon on at 8:30 to get more of his thoughts on the state of golf right now.
And Billy is an interesting person. I mean, he comes from the Harmon family, the great Harmon family with Claude Harmon, his dad winning the Masters, and then his brother Butch, his second brother Dick Harmon was my best friend. So we'll talk to Billy about quite a few things, but I want to get his take on LIV.
And he's been featured in the top 50 of Golf Digest as a teacher, and he's also the former caddy of PGA Tour winner Jay Haas.
That's right, and a former alcoholic. Well, I mean, in a recovery for 29 years. So that's probably the best story that he's accomplished and we can share with people that might really need help around the Christmas season.
1-800-224-2004 is the number. You know, it's interesting to note, Charlie, we got Game 6 tonight. Russell Henley leads the worldwide technology. His last win was the 2017 Houston Open. Last time the Astros won it all, 2017, Russell Henley in the driver's seat in Mayakoba.
You're full of so much news.
Okay, we'll get back to it. Talk about Scotty losing his spot at number one. Could regain it this year right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour and Sports Map Radio Network presented by Insperity. HR that makes a difference. Back after this.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network. Brought to you by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Nice to have you aboard on a Saturday morning. 1-800-224-2004 is the number to get in here and discuss the latest. We have a lot of work to do, a lot to get to as the PGA Tour is at their seventh stop of the fall season at the Worldwide Technology Championship. Russell Henley in the lead, 63-63, bogey-free, with Will Gordon and Sam Ryder chasing him. Charlie?
Are the stars aligning? Is there something in this? When's the last time Stuart Henley won a tournament?
The 2017 Houston Open, Charlie.
What happened that year?
The Houston Astros won the World Series. So if you are a betting man out there and the Astros get it done tonight, Russell Henley could be the guy. But he hasn't played particularly well this year, Charlie. You know, the putting has not been where he wants it to be, but 63-63, zero bogeys through Thursday and Friday for Russell Henley. Pretty impressive. But the main story this week is going to be Texas native Scottie Scheffler trying to recapture world number one. After losing it to Rory 2 weeks ago, he's 10 shots back going into these last 36 holes, a lead that I don't think is too big considering the strength of field.
Granted, I anything can happen in the next 36 holes, that's for sure. This is a Saturday tournament, Saturday's moving day. We'll get a little more feel for what's going to happen on Sunday. But, you know, Jackie Burke always had an interesting saying, you know, trophies find you. You don't find them. and everybody's going out there trying to win, just go out and play your best and see what happens. I think Scotty plays that way. His outlook on golf and all that is pretty clean. And not fancy. All I have to do is play good, and good things are happening. I'm going to go out and win a major championship. No. Look at Rory. How many years has he been struggling to win his fifth?
It's been 10 years, Charlie.
10.
Coming up on 10.
You know, how many majors is that? 40. 0 for 40. He wouldn't be very good in baseball with that statistic. 0 for 40?
No, he would not. He would not. He's had a lot of close calls. You look back at 2022, you know, had a great chance at the Open. Came in second at the Masters.
He didn't have a great chance. He blew it.
He blew it. You know, looking towards this year's Masters, though, I feel Rory is, you know, he's dialed in with the putter. He's got Brad Faxon on the bag. I think this is the year that he comes through at Augusta. But you never know. Like you just said, it's all about these players' outlook. I was listening to, you know, back to Russell Henley. I was listening to him talk yesterday to Todd Lewis after the round, and he was talking about how he never looks towards the 18th hole. You know, it's always just about the next shot. You know, how good can you hit the next shot? I think that's key. You know, another big story this week, you know, world number 11, Victor Hovland, is looking to win this tournament for the third year in a row. He's had some kind of year, Charlie. I mean, you know, has maintained, you know, being one of the best ball strikers in the world, has not shipped it great. It's held him back over the last year. But, you know, to win a tournament the same tournament three years in a row, that's something that has not been done since Steve Stricker won the John Deere 3 years in a row between 2009 and 2011.
You know, and there's something in his DNA that you know, produces bad chips. And I think that can And I think that can creep into your full game. It's your nervous system. It's your anxiety system, and sometimes you have a few bad thoughts, it will start that anxiety moving in, and then all of a sudden you get up over a drive and it goes sideways, and you can't, you know, very seldom do you win a tournament making a triple bogey. So, you know, he's got to stay calm. You know, they used to use a few pills to stay calm. You know? You can't do that, you know, and rightfully so. So are the Scottish guys. We had a Scottish professional in Toledo, Ohio. He'd show you his vodka bottle on the first tee.
Wow.
Okay, now you play 18 holes. You never see him take a drink. And he'd walk off 18 and he'd show you the bottle.
Was it empty?
Empty.
Wow.
Empty.
A quiet drinker.
I don't know, and, you know, when he went behind trees, I don't know, but, you know.
It kept him relaxed.
You know, that's why the game of golf
Jason Duffner, he put a wad of chew between the tongue and cheek, Charlie.
Oh, yeah. No,
you know, when he won the 2013 PGA at Oak Hill, which is going back there this year, I mean, that thing was hanging out of his lip.
Yeah.
Because have you seen Duffner hit those 3-foot putts?
Oh, man, he's putting with an alligator. It's going all over the place.
Well, you know, speaking of three-time winners, Charlie, I think this is it's a convenient time to mention, you know, a piece of Tiger Woods' greatness. Tiger won four separate events three times in a row. I mean, you know, it seems unimaginable that would ever happen again simply because of how much talent is in the sport right now. And you know, also the fact that, you know, you don't see the most dominant players in the world playing the same events 3 to 4 years in a row.
Like Jackie Burke, he won four in a row.
And
how about that stat?
Wow! Which event?
Huh? Well, New Orleans. He won Houston, and the other two escape me right now. But he did win four PGA Tour events in a row.
Incredible. We're gonna get into the entire leaderboard of the Worldwide Technology Championship as we go today. And at 8:30, the great Billy Harmon will join us in the conversation. Charlie, how about a word from our friends over at Insperity?
You know, it is my pleasure to speak on Insperity's behalf and let the people know, small business owners know, that, you know, during this recent health and economic crisis in America, Insperity has helped their clients navigate through the chaos and ultimately rise above all the challenges. And we know owning your own business, there are many challenges. And you want to be able to, every now and then, call on somebody for some advice, for counsel. you know, for ideas. And Insperity is a company that in 1986 was established to do that. It was known as Administaff, and now it is known as Insperity. It inspires business performance because they want business to succeed so that communities prosper. How about that for a goal? So HR is a, Insperity is an HR company that makes the difference and that will help you as a small business succeed. And so give them a call, log on to their website, get the information, and I guarantee you, you'll be very happy once you make contact with Insperity, the company that inspires business performance.
1-800-224-2004 is the number. Charlie, I don't want to spend a whole bunch of time looking back at last week's Bermuda Championship with all that's going on this week, but it is worth mentioning that Seamus Power, the only top 50 player in the field last week, won his second PGA Tour event at Port Royal. And, you know, to understand Seamus Power's story, you have to look back to 2010. A guy by the name of Rory McIlroy was committed to East Tennessee State, a team coached by Fred Warren, has recruited a lot of Irish guys over the years. Fred retired 2 years ago, but Rory told Coach Warren, he said, look, you know, I'm not going to be here for 4 years. I'm going to play a European amateur schedule, and then I'm going to turn pro here in the next couple of years. And Fred Warren goes, you know, I'm going to go to Ireland. I'm going to look for the next great thing coming out of this country. And he stumbled upon Seamus Power, who ended up winning him two conference championships.
Interesting story, and that's East Tennessee State is that type of school. It's not a big school, but the coach knew what he was doing. He could evaluate talent. And a lot of good players have come out of Ireland. How many majors have they won, starting with Rory and
Shane Lowry.
Shane Lowry.
Yeah, won the Open a couple years ago.
And the Open champion.
Padraig?
Padraig Harrington. Yeah. He's won three majors. So go to Ireland and learn how to hit your iron solid. Because if you don't hit them solid, they're going to, you know, you'll see them fly into the Irish Sea. So in Scotland and Ireland, the grass is rough, and you learn how to hit it solid. That's why those champions come from those areas, because that's where they grow up. It's just like learning golf in East Texas is a lot different than learning golf in northern United States. So your environment controls a lot of how you hit golf balls.
No doubt. You know, I think the moral of the story there, you know, is a year from now at Marco Simeone Golf Club in Rome, you know, I expect to see Seamus Power joining Rory on the European Ryder Cup team and what would be a full circle moment for the both of them. Power is, you know, is a player with incredible length off the tee, hits his irons well as anyone on tour, can really putt the lights out of it. Charlie, we spoke last week about Rory feeling betrayed by some of the European Ryder Cup veterans who departed to live. Well, you know, and I said Rory needed to focus on some of these younger players. We saw last week with Seamus Power, even though he's 35 years old, he can be one of those players to fill that void.
You know, I hear Ian Poulter's going to come back to caddy.
Wow. There you go. Hey, on the other side, we'll welcome in Billy Harmon, get his feel on the state of golf right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Back after this.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Last segment we discussed, you know, what's going on with, you know, Rory McIlroy, new world number one. Scottie Scheffler is at the Worldwide Technology Championship this week, 10 shots back of the lead with a chance to retake world number one. You know, you have Russell Henley in the lead at 16 under, bogey-free through two rounds. Told Todd Lewis after the round that he's putting better. That's been his weakness. You have Sam Ryder, who's, you know, 202nd in the official world golf rankings, you know, in second at 13 under, tied with Will Gordon, who is the 2019 SEC Player of the Year at Vanderbilt. But Charlie, Mayakoba is a golf course that is demanding off the tee, you know, with every fairway shot. But you said it's not particularly tight. It's just visually you can get lazy.
Visually, it's the horizon, you know, is the ocean. It's cut out through the mangrove forest, and there's the water meanders through the whole property, but it can lull you to sleep. And if you don't have a specific target off of those great tees, you're going to hit a wayward shot, and you're going to produce the occasional triple bogey. So that's why you'll see that. But the guys, Victor won it back to back. I'm sure his targets were very specific, and they didn't change from year to year. It's just kind of like Nicklaus playing at Augusta. Played it so many times, he knows, where to aim. Even if the trees grow, he knows where his spots are. So be target specific. If you're going to do one thing for 2023 with your golf game, let's start working forward to great thoughts, and that'll make you score better. And scoring is all about target specific. You know where you want the ball to start. That's so important. Very, very important to shoot lower numbers.
You know, one guy that is trying to shoot some lower numbers, he is, he's six shots back. Francesco Molinari, 2019 Open champion. Charlie, he said his only goal for this year is to make that Ryder Cup team next year. What are your thoughts on Molinari?
I like that. I like that. He knows what the Ryder Cup's all about, and he went through some problems with his back. But I understand we have somebody on the
We do. Let's head over to the Progressive guest line. Welcome in Billy Harmon. Billy is a top 50 teacher in the world, caddied for on the PGA Tour for Jay Haas for a decade, and is now one of the most highly regarded golf instructors in the industry. Billy, thanks for taking some time to join us this morning. How are things in your world?
Everything's good. Good morning, guys. Hey, Charlie. How you doing, pal?
Okay. You got him, Charlie? No. Well, Billy, Charlie's getting his audio in check.
Nothing's changed.
Yeah, nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed, Charlie.
Billy, we'll start with this one. A lot has happened, this year in the world of golf. Let's start with your thoughts on Rory McIlroy dethroning Scottie Scheffler and recapturing world number one for the ninth time in his career. What are your thoughts on that, and what's it going to take for Rory to get back in the winner's circle of a major championship?
Well, I think Rory's probably the most gifted player in the world, I think, physically. I kind of love the trajectory of Rory's career. He came out, he was unbelievably good, but he was a young man, he had all that pressure on him, and I think he really took time to figure out what life is all about, what makes Rory happy. Maybe he didn't play as well as some would have expected him to, but that didn't seem to change him from his own journey. He's married, he's got a kid now and stuff, and he seems very comfortable, and we're seeing Rory back playing great. There's not a tournament in the world that would surprise me that Rory would win. So I think all four majors he could win. If he plays well, I think he's probably the best player in the world, and he'll probably win the tournament if he plays well. So I think, obviously, I'd love to see him win the Masters, win the Grand Slam, but I think Rory's back. He's mature. He's playing good, and he's finishing tournaments. So, great number one. But Scheffler too was a great story. Very likable guy. I wasn't rooting against either one of them or for one of them. I thought the game would be great with either one of them. Number one.
Well, Bill, it's great to hear you again over these airways. Many years
Thanks,
went
Charlie.
By. We had a lot of great stories, and
yes, we did.
Your mission in life has been golf for so many different reasons, and we've had something new come up this year, and you've had time to digest it. Greg Norman decided to rage war against the PGA Tour and bring a new product to us. It's kind of upset the apple cart. What's your take on all what transpired?
Well, it's interesting. At the start of the year, Jay Haas was telling me they were sitting around in the locker room at the Champions Tour event, and they were talking about this new LIV Tour. And after about 20 minutes, Jay said there were so many unanswered questions, TV contract, world rankings, If you sign five guys, who are the five guys that get kicked off the tour? There are all kinds of questions, and Jay said it made him dizzy, and it appears that those questions still exist. I personally don't blame any of the players that went over. A lot of money. The only one that surprised me was Cam Smith at his age, already being as good as he is, to potentially take himself out of major championships in the years to come, I thought was an odd deal. But I have zero interest in it, Charlie. I haven't watched one shot. I think I saw a replay of Dustin Johnson making a putt to win one of the tournaments, maybe in Boston. I haven't watched it. The money doesn't make me want to watch golf. I watch golf for different reasons. You know, when I watch a baseball game, I'm not watching it because someone had a $300 million salary. So I'm sorry about the division on the tour. I think the players on both tours are protecting their tours. I think the commissioners, Greg and Monahan, they're getting paid to protect their players. And to me, it's all kind of rhetoric. I think they're phoning up for the lawsuits and everything, but I have no interest in the tour. I don't care how much money they make. It's not my money. I don't watch golf for the money aspect of it. So, but I think it's the only startup league in the history of sports that didn't have a business plan and it has unlimited funds. So I think it's going to be here for a while, personally.
Billy, the PGA Tour is now guaranteeing $500K per year to all full-time members of the PGA Tour and Korn Ferry Tour. We heard this week that the DP World Tour has upped their purses and are going to provide each full member with $150,000. How much of this, in your opinion, is a reaction to LIV Golf, and where do you think this money is coming from?
Well, I don't know where the money's coming from. I'm sure the tour has it in their coffers, but I think that aspect of paying these guys is a little bit overdue, even before LIV came. I think as the tour progressed and the money got unbelievably good and the TV contract, you know, it's the only sport, although we love the fact that you have to perform, I think it really was the only sport that you could, you know, lose money if you lost the game, let's say. So I think that part of it's good. I think certainly it's hard to deny that it's a reaction to LIV. I think you'd be naive to say that, but any business has to grow and learn to compete. So I don't see where the PGA Tour is any different than any other organization. I think the one thing that bothers me the most, Charlie, about this whole thing is the PGA Tour being painted as monster. You know, the PGA Tour has been a great place to play for 60, 70 years, and all it's done is gotten better and grown. That's all it's ever done. And the amount of money, the charities, and I think what really bugs the hell out of me is let's say Phil played in 500 tournaments, and if there were 1,000 volunteers at every event, that 1,000 volunteers had volunteered their time so Phil Mickelson could have a good life. And for these guys to only come up with negatives about the PGA Tour really kind of crossed me a little bit. I think the LIV guys have handled that aspect of it very, very poorly, in my opinion.
Yes, their PR group has done a poor job in presenting its future with the LIV players and so on and so forth. But I've said from the beginning, we're going to have wait 3 years for cooler heads to bring all this together and have a two world league. I think in the long run, and it's hard to believe this, it's good for golf for many different reasons. But you know, I think Greg Norman came across as the bully. I'm Greg Norman. I've won one major or two majors, and I want this. But you got to negotiate, and I think the PGA Tour didn't do itself any good by not saying, okay, guys, let's get in line, let's negotiate, let's work this out for the betterment of the game worldwide.
Billy, stay on the line. Charlie, hate to interrupt. We got to go to break for a quick moment. We'll talk with you on the other side right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference. Back after this.
listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. And we go back to the progressive guest line where we're chatting with the great Billy Harbin. Billy, read an article about Austin Johnson, the caddy of Dustin Johnson, speaking about the differences between caddying on the PGA Tour versus the LIV Tour. He said the caddies are treated like human beings on the LIV Tour with all of the accommodations they provide to caddies and their families. Caddies are allowed to eat in player dining. All of the travel and reservations for caddies and their wives are taken care of by LIV Golf. You were a longtime caddy on the PGA Tour. What are your thoughts about the better treatment of caddies on LIV?
Well, he also said in that article that he did say he was treated okay on the PGA
yes.
Tour. So I think it's important to bring that up. You know, when I started caddying in 1978, we didn't have anything. And everything on the PGA Tour got incredibly better for the caddies over the years. And Charlie's seen that. Charlie's seen that, too. So now this tour's come along just like they've done to the players. You know, and they've made things a lot better. But once again, they have a bottomless pit of money. And if I was a caddy, would I want to go over there and caddy for that kind of money? You bet I would, and that kind of treatment. I don't like the thought that the caddies have been treated poorly the last 15, 25 years. That kind of bothers me because I saw how much it improved from when I started. So once again, it's back. It's kind of a divisive thing. Sure, they would like it. It's like when you're at a Ryder Cup or caddying a Ryder Cup or President's Cup, you're treated like gold. But, you know, there's only 48 caddies out there instead of 150 every
yeah.
week. Would they do that for 150, you know?
Excellent point.
So we got to keep understanding 48 players are a lot easier to accommodate than 150, wouldn't you think, Charlie?
Yeah, Bill, that is no
and
doubt
provide,
about it.
Provide all that stuff and yeah. the room and board. 150 caddies and their meals and treat them like kings. It's a little bit easier to do when you have less than one third of the numbers. So I don't blame the caddies for saying it was great. I don't blame the players over there for talking about the money. I just don't care about how much money they make, to be honest with you. I have no interest in their competitions at the moment. But I don't blame the players. I don't hate the players for going over. That's not, there's a lot of nice guys that went over, you know, a lot of good guys that have been good guards for an awful long time. I hate the fact that each player on each tour has to keep chirping about. What I don't understand about LIV, Charlie, is why they're demanding to keep playing on the PGA Tour. There wasn't one PGA player that could have played in that tournament at Doral last week for $50
million. Yeah, yeah, that's.
What if Rory said, "Hey, I feel like playing. Give me a spot."
Yeah,
you know?
that's
so
a good point.
Why do they get the cherry pick and the PGA players don't get the cherry pick? I don't understand that.
Well, that's the $64 question, but I think once cooler minds get involved and they get a union going. Joint purpose in life, promoting the game of golf, raising money for charities worldwide. I mean, we raised $4 billion for charities in the United States through the PGA Tour, Bill, and now we're talking worldwide, and I think we're going to...
Oh, not question.
We're going to...
Let me ask you this, Charlie.
Yes.
The dynamics of this whole thing. Had the Saudis asked, I'm throwing this name out, Ian Baker Finch or Nick Price or Trevor Immelman to be the chairman or the commissioner of that tour. See, Monahan would have spoke to them. But Greg has a very polarizing reputation in golf, and you know that. And Monahan doesn't like him, and Greg doesn't like Monahan. So they're at kind of a standstill there. But what if it was Baker Finch? Monahan would have had a meeting with him in a minute, I bet.
I think you're spot on, and I think in maybe 6 months, those two gentlemen probably are not going to be involved. I think they're going to have to guys like Nicklaus and Palmer. They got involved back when, and I think Rory and Tiger are getting together. They're getting together as business partners, but they're going to get together and come up with with the right direction for what we're talking about, Bill. I think Tiger's going to do something that his dad always said that Tiger was going to do something more important than just golf. And I think Tiger and Rory, you know, are planning that, and they're getting together as business partners. So it's going to be interesting to see it develop in the next, you know, 2 years. I think it's going to take that long. Yeah.
I just think the Norman volatility there hasn't helped. I think that had they had someone that, you know, like I said, Baker Finch or Nick Price or something, that people would have been to the table a lot quicker, I think. That's just my opinion. I don't know that. It's just I throw that out.
You know that. It's spot on. And you know, one of Norman's idols was Jack Nicklaus, and why he didn't go to Jack and say, Jack, when you and Arnold stepped up to the plate and got Dean Beamon to reorganize and get the PGA Tour to be an independent entity and away from the PGA of America, you know, how did you do that? You know, pay him as a consultant and get the right people in. What's that?
Instead, he called Jack a hypocrite.
Yeah, I mean, you know, why? Anyways, enough said about Norman. We all know what type of person he can be, and we're going to move forward to a better time in 2023. What do you, you know, I like what the Open Championship, the RNA came out and said, we're still an Open Championship. We're not going to turn away anybody who qualifies with our championship. We don't care who you are. We want the guys to have the opportunity to play in that championship. I think the next one we got to hear from is Augusta, and they're waiting, you know, being very patient on showing their cards. Which way do you think they're going to go?
Well, I think they have a little bit of a stranger deal with those former champions. So you got Phil, Patrick Reed, Garcia,
Schwartzel.
You've got some, yeah, but the polarizing figures are those. And you give them that media center to blast the PGA Tour, you know, on their grounds. And you see, they'll have a chance to make this about the LIV Tour. And I don't think the people at Augusta are going to look kindly on that. But they can't tell them not to talk. They can't tell them not to talk to the press. They can not invite them to the press center, but that's not going to keep them from talking to the press underneath the tree. Right, Charlie?
That's exactly right.
You give those three guys the front row seat to blast in the PGA Tour, and you make that more important. The talk of the tournament will be that and not the Masters. That will not sit well at Augusta. So I like you said, they're taking their time. You know, my instincts are is that they'll go with tradition. You know, the world rankings is what's going to keep people out of these tournaments at some point. But the fact that you have almost a lifetime exemption as a former champion up until the age of 60 or 65, that's a little bit of a different animal, I think. So I think they're taking their time because I don't think they want Patrick Reed and Sergio and Phil and maybe even Bubba now to be using that as a forum to blast the PGA Tour, make that the story of the week instead of the Masters. So I'll be very interested to hear what they have to say.
Yeah, Billy, you mentioned Bubba. You know, I'm sure you read last week that he said he received money from sponsors and tournament officials for appearances. Charlie and I have talked about this over the months. It's not new news per se. You know, that players are getting paid under the table. But what were your thoughts there?
Well, I think it's been known for a year the sponsor of the tournament was doing that. I don't believe the PGA Tour was doing it. But the PGA Tour probably knew it, but the sponsor says, hey, come do a talk at a dinner or do this or that, and we'll give you X amount of money. And that's how they got around the appearance fee. It's not really new, but once again, here's Bubba taking a shot at the tour, you know, the place that gave him the forum to be whoever he's been. And so I don't know. I, you know, Charlie and I have been around the game long enough to know how grateful we are for what golf has done for us. And I'm a little taken by the lack of gratitude these guys have for what the game has done for them, to be honest. But it's one thing to go and do the live thing, and that's fine. But to start burning bridges on the way out, I think, is in very poor taste myself.
Couldn't agree with you more, Bill. We're going to be breaking here in a minute, but then I want to come back and talk to you about something much more important.
Okay.
Go ahead. Yeah,
well, you might want to ask him now, Charlie.
We know World Series time. I know, you know, you grew up in New York and the Yankees, and I know you enjoy baseball, and we in Houston, Jim Crane has done an incredible job over the last 7 or 8 years since he bought the franchise, and we've been to World Series, we won the, you know, ACL, you know, all that. How do you see the game going tonight? This is an important game for me.
Okay, this will be after the break.
No, go ahead. Start right now.
I'm rooting for the Astros because I bet them at 9-1 before the season started to win the World Series, the biggest bet I've ever made. So I'm not Mattress Mac, but it's a big bet for me. So, but I'm a Astros fan anyway. So, and I'm also a Dodger fan. But no, I'm rooting real hard for the Astros to win one of these two games.
Well, we have Mattress Mac in town, and if you bought a piece of furniture from him, he had a way you could have a big bet going. And I believe me, Judy Epps is very interested in tonight's game because we got something going on the game. But I know the Dodgers and your history with the Yankees, so it's going to be a fun night.
I'm the only guy that grew up in New York that hated the Yankees, so I'm not a Yankee fan.
Okay.
Well, or a Red Sox. I can't stand either one of them.
Neither can we.
I love Bill. I love Big Poppy, though. I think he's a blast to listen to.
Yeah, he was good, but that doesn't mean I got to like the Red Sox.
Billy, thanks so much for joining us today. We're going to have to go to break, and that's the end of the show. I really appreciate hearing from you.
Bill, okay, we'll be in touch.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, before we go to break, a quick word from my friends over at the Swing Sound app, which you can find over on the App Store and Google Play. One thing that all amateurs and weekend golfers struggle with is consistent rhythm and tempo in their golf swing. You either swing the club too slow or you swing the club too quick, especially under pressure when you have a big putt to win your weekend skins game or late afternoon match against a buddy. And what Marius Filmotter, the founder of Swing Sound Golf, who we're going to have on for a few minutes next week, has figured out is that almost all bad golf shots are caused by bad tempo, because study results show that all good golfers share a common and consistent rhythm when they swing the club. You look at Jordan Spieth, who has a very smooth tempo, a 3-1 full swing tempo ratio, and you look at an awkward swing like Jim Furyk, they're actually swinging at the same tempo. That's the way they get it done. Now, with the help of some of the best sound engineers around the world, Marius Filmotter has developed the Swing Sound app, which plays a consistent rhythmic sound that will help establish your swing tempo and master your golf performance. Simply download the Swing Sound app, put your headphones on if you have other players around you, and calibrate the rhythm that best fits your swing. The other feature of the Swing Sound app that I love is the audio that helps create your tempo. Most of these metronome apps play a rhythm that sounds like an alarm or a school bell, but Filmotter has worked with these audio engineers in the world to create sounds that are comforting to your ear as you use the Swing Sound app to master the rhythm in your golf swing. Do yourself a favor and take control of your golf performance and establish your swing tempo by downloading the Swing Sound app, available for only $4.99 on the App Store or Google Play. When we come back, a pick from Mayakoba right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SportsMap Radio Network, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference, back after this.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, wrapping up here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on SportsMap Radio Network, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Charlie, you got a leaderboard in front of you?
Leaderboard, I do not, but I'm going to bring it up right now.
Let me read this off to you. Russell Henley leads the way at 16 under, and a tie for second is Sam Ryder and Will Gordon. Fourth is Patton Kizzire at 12 under. David Lingworth, the 2015 Memorial Champion, in fifth place at 11 under. A couple notable names, Scotty Scheffler, 10 shots back, and Victor Hovland at 8 under, 6 shots back. Who do you think is going to get the job done this weekend?
Well, the numbers are low. You know, we just saw 63, 63 so people can come from out of nowhere, and the course lends itself to scoring. So if the winds are down again, Lord only knows who's going to, you know, it's hard for us to tell on a Saturday morning, but, you know, Hindley, well, I mean, I don't know.
Well, you're exactly right, Charlie. The birdies tend to come in bunches. The winning score has averaged 20 under since 2013. Hindley is already at 16 here, so who knows what the winning score is going
to
be.
Yeah, I mean, people at 10 under, can they get to 20 under? Yes. 65. So, you know, you go back down the line. It's a crapshoot.
I'm going to follow the signs and go with Hindley. I told you at the beginning of the show, you know, the last time Hindley won was the 2017 Houston Open, which we have next week.
Yes.
And also that year, the Houston Astros won the World Series. I think they get it done in Game 6 tonight, and then Russell Hindley gets it done tomorrow. So I'm going to follow the signs a little bit here this week, Charlie.
I'm going to agree with you.
There you go. Russell Hindley. And hey, Charlie, I'm looking forward to the Houston Open. I mean, you know, a lot of good players in the field. We have some local amateurs, Cole Hammer and Travis Vick in the field. It's going to be a great week at Memorial Park.
I was out there last couple weeks, played around. The golf course is excellent. The golf course is maturing after being redone, so it's good. We're going to have a hell of a tournament.
Charlie, thanks so much. John Bellmer behind the ones and twos. We appreciate it. Thanks to Insperity, our partners, HR that makes a difference. We'll see you next week.
Ciao.